Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
She came to the temple to make her offering. She was a widow lady and very poor. She lived pretty much from day to day, trusting in the Lord, trusting in his provision, trusting in his mercy. Perhaps she relied on family members, but you know how it can be with families sometimes. They all seem to have better things to do than to look out for grandma. Maybe there were friends and neighbors who were there to make sure that everything was okay, there to make sure that she had enough flour and oil for bread. You can be certain that this pious widow lady who came to the temple knew the story of the prophet Elijah and the widow at Zarephath quite well. It was a story that she could relate to. There was an instant connection and an application. The only difference between her and the widow at Zarephath in the Old Testament was that she was an Israelite, and the widow at Zarephath was part of a pagan nation, one of the enemies of God's people. So I guess it was all the more scandalous that Elijah should be sent by God to her, to this widow lady at Zarephath, a pagan, an enemy of God's people, and a widow of all things. Why wouldn't God have sent the prophet to someone who could afford the hospitality? Why send Elijah to a widow? But then we know that God's mercy extends beyond the boundaries of Israel to the ends of the earth, that God's grace in Jesus is a universal grace that covers all people, and it includes this poor widow and her son who were literally preparing their last meal with the last bit of flour and the last drop of oil that she had. And what an imposition it must have been at the time for Elijah to ask her for a piece of bread when she was scraping the bottom of her flour jar. And what an act of faith it was to trust the word of God for this lady living in a pagan nation, to trust the word of the God of Israel through the prophet with her last morsel of food. She believed the word through Elijah that her flour and oil would not run out, that day after day she would reach into those jars and dip into that flask, and there would be something there by the sheer grace of God until the day the Lord sent rain again. And she acted on what she believed. She did as Elijah told her. She welcomed the prophet into her own poor home, and the flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty. For this reason, the Lord said so. He promised. You have to believe that the widow who came to the temple knew that story word by word. She probably went to it at least once a week, if not once a day. And while she had no such promise from God as the widow at Zarephath, she knew that the widow was close to the Lord's heart, that the Lord sustains the fatherless and the widow, as the psalmist says. And this widow at Zarephath served as a reminder to her that God is faithful and he is true to his word, and that he would not abandon her in her time of need, and that she could trust in his fatherly care to supply what she needed somehow. even when she could not see how. One thing was certain, though, she would not come to the temple empty-handed, although certainly the people would have understood. They would have understood had she not brought an offering. After all, I mean, what could she possibly give? The temple budget was enormous. The renovation work on the temple was an ongoing thing, 40, 50 years. It takes a lot of money. And I would imagine that the temple accountants really didn't pay much regard to this poor widow. What could she offer? Earlier, Jesus had criticized the scribes for wandering around in the streets in their flowing robes and seeking honorific titles from the people and the best seats in the house and the synagogue, and how they latched on to those widows, the rich ones, and devoured their homes. This widow had little to eat, much less devour. I'm sure the scribes ignored her. Nothing left there. And still she came to the temple faithfully with her two little copper coins clutched in her hand. They were worth about a penny. They were nearly worthless. And she stood in line at the entrance to the temple courtyard. It was called the Court of Women, where the money boxes were. And there lined up were 13 treasury boxes. They were hammered out of metal, and they looked like a trumpet sort of stood on its end. Big, long neck, and then a flared out top made of metal. Bells sticking high in the air. And as the coins clanged their way down the long neck into the coffers, they made a sound that you could hear all over the courtyard. And so you get the picture, don't you? You can imagine the attention that was drawn when the rich came with their silver and their gold, and they dumped all those coins into the bell and clang, 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 clang all the way down to the bottom. Oh, you can imagine. And oh, that was music to the accountant's ears to hear that. And everybody stopped, and they turned, and they looked to see who had just made such a glorious contribution to the bottom line of the temple budget. And contrast that then with our widow lady, who comes with her two little copper coins, and they go plink, plink. Barely a sound. Probably not even heard as the other 12 boxes are clanging away with the coins of the rich. Plink, plink. It hardly registered. They were the smallest coins in circulation at the time, much smaller than our penny, smaller even than our dime. They were worth about 1/8 of a day's ration of bread. You couldn't even buy lunch with them. You and I would have missed it. As we often do when we're trying to raise money, we miss those two coins. Doesn't add anything. Oh, the gesture is nice, but it doesn't pay the bills, does it? Sitting across the way from those 13 clanging money boxes sits Jesus, watching as people put their money into the treasury, listening to the clang, clang, clanging of the coins, and then he hears something different. He hears plink, plink of the widow's two copper coins, and the Savior's ears perk up. He hears something different in that plink, plink that he didn't hear in all the other coins that clanged into the coffer. He hears faith. Plink, plink is the sound of faith. Trust in God. And he calls his disciples to share the moment with him. He says, did you hear that? And they said, what? He says, you know what? Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. Plink, plink, the sound of faith. I know what you're thinking. I'm thinking the same thing, so we're in the same boat here. What kind of accounting is this, Lord? How are we going to pay the bills, Jesus? When you go off and praise a couple of copper coins and you diss all that silver and gold that was being contributed, aren't we supposed to honor the big givers? It's the way most programs work. But the Lord is seeking something else here. He doesn't want your money. He wants you. He wants you. The gold and the silver belong to him anyway, and he can recall them anytime he wishes by your death. You can't take it with you. But the plink, plink of faith is music to the Lord's ears. It is more melodious than all the excess coins of the rich clanging away and echoing in the temple courts. They gave out of their abundance. It takes little to no faith to give out of surplus, but to give out of poverty. That tiny little plink, plink of two copper coins was her entire livelihood. It was everything she had. It was her last 2 cents. Can you imagine the size of the offering if the rich gave in the same proportion as this widow lady? If they gave everything they had up to the last two of their copper coins, the treasury boxes couldn't have contained it all. They would have been busting full of money, brimming over the top of their trumpet necks. The clanging would have been deafening. They would have had to bring in Brinks trucks at an hourly basis just to cart away the silver and the gold. If everybody gave in the same proportion in the same way as this faithful widow lady who gave her last 2 pennies. Her giving flowed out of a living trust that seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then trusts that all these things that we need in this life will be added as well. God has promised. Jesus has promised. It's that childlike trust in a heavenly Father who knows what we need even before we ask him, and who knows to give good gifts to his children, who teaches us to pray, "Our Father, give us this day, today, our daily bread, bread sufficient for today," trusting that he will provide this bread for us. It is a faith that holds the coins of this world with a very loose and dead hand so that they slip out quite easily. Like the widow at Zarephath, this faithful woman trusted that God would take care of her, and that those 2 coins that were the last of her savings, that could hardly buy the equivalent of a dinner roll, served far better as an expression of her trust in God than as a guarantee of her next meal. It's hard when you don't know where your next meal is coming from. It's very hard. And in this economy, some of us may very well feel that. This is why the widowed, the orphaned, the poor have a special place in the scriptures. They live without a safety net. They live trusting that God will provide. Their petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," takes on a slightly different cast than for those of us who know precisely where our daily bread is coming from. I get the impression, as I read this text, that the flour and the oil for the widow at Zarephath, the jars that contained the flour and the oil were always nearly empty each and every day. That every day, if you were to look inside them, you would see just barely enough. So that every time that you reached in, you'd be taking it all. "Give us this day our daily bread." But here's what happened. Every day she went there, there was something. When Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves, he didn't multiply loaves and multiply fish. He didn't make many loaves out of a few loaves. He just made a lot of food out of a few. And I think that's what the Lord did here with the widow at Zarephath. "Give us this day our daily bread." When that widow came home from the temple that day, 2 pennies poorer, she did not come home to a cupboard full of food or a bank account brimming full of money. But the Lord himself had heard the plink, plink of her little faith. And you know that the Lord did not let her down. St. Paul wrote these lines from a prison somewhere to a congregation that had just sent him a monetary gift. God always works through means, through instruments. Sometimes you and I are the instruments. That dollar you give to the poor person, that piece of food that you give to someone who's hungry, you're the instrument in answer to their prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Sometimes you are the recipient on the receiving end. In this case, St. Paul was the recipient of a gift from the Philippian congregation, and he writes this back to them. He says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, through Christ. He further says, I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We Christians trust the Lord with the big things. We confess that we do. We trust him with the forgiveness of our sins. That's a big thing. We trust him with our life. That's a big thing. We trust him with our salvation. That's a very big thing. We trust that his death, the death of Christ, covers the multitude of our sins. That in baptism we are clothed with Jesus, we are buried with him in his death, we are raised with him in his resurrection, we are glorified with him in his ascension. We trust that for Jesus' sake and his alone, we stand before God, sinners though we are, justified, declared righteous, holy, and innocent. And we trust that though we die, yet we will live for Christ's sake, and that in Christ we will never die forever. We trust all of that stuff. That's what makes us Christians. But here's the question today. If God is faithful with the big things, will he not also be faithful with the little things? If we trust him with our eternal life, will we trust him with our last two copper coins? Will we trust him with our last crust of bread? And there we must at times pray, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He cares for you, and he cares for your life more than you do. Sometimes the flour and the oil may run mighty low, and sometimes the bank account may have no more than a couple of pennies in it. But you are never outside the Lord's notice, and you are never outside his care. He has staked a claim on you that is eternal, and he is faithful and true to his word. Jesus said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Don't think that your two pennies offered in faith are not noticed. Don't ever think that. The world may not notice. The accountants may not care, but the Lord notices. And that plink, plink of faith's little coin is a sweet melody to the Lord's ears. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.